This is a time that we call communion, and I'm going to talk a bit about why we do it, what we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be reflecting on as we hold what we call communion. Ever since the early Christians met secretly in homes to remember the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the church has been celebrating communion. Of all the things we do in church, this one event should hold the most meaning to us, and it should cause us to be humbled by the message behind the service. I think that far too often, communion celebration is looked upon as being commonplace. It's just something we do every 2 weeks. In reality, it's far more important than this. This is a time we call communion is an opportunity for the church to worship the Lord Jesus by remembering what he did for us at Calvary and the Garden Tomb. It is a time when we can rehearse the message of the gospel in the ears of those who may not know it. It is also a time to reflect upon our walk with Jesus as individuals. Today we are going to partake of the communion once again, but before we do, I want to draw your attention to these verses, which they teach us about this special time, and allow me to point out several marks of this time known as communion. As I do, please look into your own heart and examine your own life on the basis of what the Bible says about this event known as the Lord's Supper. It's a time of commemoration. These verses will remind us that the Lord's Supper is a sacrifice of and victorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10:10, when we gather at the Lord's table for communion, we are not offering a new sacrifice. We are remembering his once and for all sacrifice for us. The idea of remembering is more than just recalling an event that took place. It has the idea of stirring up the mind to relive with Jesus Christ as much of his life, death, and resurrection as is humanly possible. It's a time to remember that he left heaven to be born one day in a human body. Philippians 2:5-6. He became poor that we might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. He bore our sins in his own body on a tree. 1 Peter 2:24. He willingly took our place in Calvary. Isaiah 53:4-6. He shed his blood for our redemption. Revelations 1:5. He conquered death for us all, forever. Matthew 28:1-6. He ascended back to heaven to finish his redemptive work and serve as our high priest forever. Hebrews 7:25. This is also a time of contemplation. Not only are we to remember what Jesus has done for humanity, but we are to contemplate what his sacrifice means to us as individuals. Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. But what does that mean to you? Have you been saved? Does his sacrifice move your heart towards him in a worship if you are saved? Does the fact that he is alive furthermore thrill your soul and cause you to bow before him in humility and worship? We should use this time to reflect on what work Christ has done means to us as individuals. Our minds should reflect on what his death and resurrection has accomplished in our own individual lives. It is a great time to consider your personal walk with the Lord. Is it all that it should be? Are you living in a manner that pleases him? Is your heart right with the Lord? Consider your relationship with the Lord during a special time. It's also a time of identification. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are publicly identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ. Now, it's possible for a lost person to partake in this Lord's Supper and never be saved. This event holds no saving power whatsoever. However, for those who are saved, it is a time for us to declare publicly that we believe his death and resurrection were for us. Let us who have been saved by the grace boldly identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible reminds us that those who know him are not to be ashamed of him. That's Romans 10:9-11. The world may call us fools, and they certainly do. They may say we use the Lord as a crutch. Regardless of what they say, let us take our stand with the redeemed and loudly proclaim our faith in him and our dependence upon his sacrifice. The Lord's Supper service is a prime time to identify yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also a time of declaration. This is to remind us that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are declaring his death and resurrection to new generations of people. This is to be a time of education as well as a time of worship. We must always take the time to explain what we are doing when we take the bread and the juice. This service is a prime time for declaring the gospel message to those who don't know it. That's why we preach the gospel message. We proclaim it so that men, women, boys, and girls will have the opportunity to believe on Jesus Christ as all the redeemed have done. Therefore, let us determine that we will always remind this lost and dying world that there is only one source of salvation and that his name is Jesus Christ. John 14:6. In a day when many churches are becoming seeker-friendly, I can't stand those churches, and others are abandoning the doctrines of salvation by grace through faith alone, let us determine that as long as there is breath in our bodies, we will strive to protect the message in this church. We could compromise and we could draw a large crowd, but I'd rather preach the truth to a few than drag a crowd behind me in a Christless eternity. Can I get an amen?
Oh, that's good. Amen.
This is a time of expectation as well. We're also reminded that this time stirred is to stir up our thoughts concerning the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is, he died for us. He rose again for us, and he ascended into heaven for us.
Amen.
There he makes intercession for us at the throne of God. But let us not forget that he has also promised to return someday for us. John 14, 1-3. The Lord's Supper service shall serve to remind us of the fact that he's coming, and he's coming back very soon. It should stir up in our hearts by reminding us that one day soon, our Savior will return from glory to take his children home to heaven. Therefore, when the bread and juice are passed in a few minutes, remember, Jesus is coming, and he's coming for a redeemed people.
Amen.
Are you ready for his coming?
Amen.
Okay, it's time of re-examination. Examination, not re-exam. I do re-examinations at work. So it's only an examination. While all other truths have considered today are important, this final one is very serious, and it's a warning to you and to me. The Lord's Supper service is a time of reflection and worship, but it is also a time of self-examination. We are warned against partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. This can mean a couple of things. It's a warning against taking it lightly. Too often, people will come to the Lord's table and will not take time to search their hearts for sin, nor will they consider the great sacrifice that Jesus gave for their redemption. They go through the motions but ignore the emotions. Others participate in it ritualistically and not with their minds and their hearts. Others trust a ceremony to save them and fail to trust the one whom the ceremony points. Others come with bitterness and hatred in their hearts towards other believers. All these are dangerous and bring chastisement of God into our lives. When we partake of the Lord's Supper in a manner which degrades the truth behind the celebration, we are guilty of trampling underfoot the death and resurrection of Jesus. When somebody walks on the flag of the United States in protest, they are doing more than damaging a piece of cloth. They are actually dishonoring this nation and all it stands for. The same is true at the Lord's table. Let us be careful to examine our hearts, our lives, and our motives before we receive the elements of the Lord's Supper. Paul's warning is serious. He reminds the Corinthians that some of their number is dead because they came to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. The remedy for this is to examine ourselves, confess our sins, and right every wrong possible. Before we come to the Lord's table, if we will take the time to judge our own lives, the Lord will not have to judge them for us. But even when his chastisement comes upon us, he is doing it for our own good and is a product of his love for us. As a child, many of us remember our mothers telling us to wash up for dinner. Well, that's what the Lord is telling you and me this morning. Are you in the right condition to receive the Lord's Supper today? Here is a few questions I want you to ask yourselves. Number one, are you saved? Number two, is your life pleasing to the Lord? Number three, are there hidden things in your life that need to be dealt with this morning? Number four, is there any problem between you and another believer? Number five, can you honestly say that your heart and life are pure? And finally, number six, are you ready to receive the bread and juice with a heart of true worship for God the Father and his Son, Jesus the Christ? So this morning, as we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, we take the bread and remember the pain that he went through. And we want to remember that daily. Likewise, Jesus told his disciples that day that this is the blood of my covenant, the new covenant. Drink this in remembrance of me. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. Lord, we just pray that what you did on the cross does not go unanswered with us and the way we do our walk. We need to remember everything that you've done, all your teachings and the sacrifices that you made so we could have eternity with you in heaven. You know, we love you, Father. We praise you, Lord. And we just give thanks that, we can just be with you one day in heaven. Thank you for being with us here on earth, too. In Jesus' name, amen.